Let's just pray. We got a nice half an hour here to just look into God's Word, to just be able to focus on Him and just hear from Him. Father, we just thank You for this time this morning. Lord, we thank You that You bring purpose to our lives. Lord, we thank You that You bring meaning to every breath that we take, that when we have You inside of us, Lord, we do have the answer that people need to hear about. We do have a response to the things in this world that seem like there's just no way to respond. Lord, by faith, we do know what to do when it seems that we don't know what to do. Because Your Holy Spirit has come, and we thank You for the indwelling presence that Your Holy Spirit has brought to our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank You for enlightening our minds to be able to understand what it is, to see accurately who we really are, to see in Your Word that we're not just trying to struggle to make it through, but we're called to be a demonstration of Your love on planet Earth, that we're supposed to be those who walk into victory that others can attach themselves to and be drawn into. So Lord, this morning as we just look to You and we look to who it is that You've made us to be, we're just so grateful and we're thankful and we just love You for it because You are a faithful and gracious King. And we submit ourselves this morning to Your Word and to Your rulership in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at a scripture in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 14 through 15. Luke 8, 14 through 15. I usually use the New King James. Sometimes I use the New Living Translation. But Luke 8, 14 through 15 says this. Jesus is just explaining a parable that He had told to His disciples. And probably you know it if you've been born again for a while and around church and the Word, that there's a sower that went out. He sowed a bunch of seeds and seeds flew all over the place. It didn't just go on the tilled ground. It went everywhere. And so He's explaining to them what it meant that the way that certain seeds succeeded and certain ones didn't. And He's saying, as an explanation to them, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares. Now if you remember in the parable, it says that they sprang up quickly. There was an initial growth, but they were choked out because of the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And because they're choked with cares, listen to what happens. It doesn't say they die. It just says they bring no fruit to maturity. They never grow up. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. A few things we're going to look at in this passage this morning. The first thing I want to look at is choked out by cares. Because, well, it's choked out with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life. The riches and the pleasures of life, if you live in America, you have both of those. Yeah. I'll just tell you that. You don't have to debate it. You do have those two things. It's just part of your reality of being born in America. You have riches. It doesn't matter if you're in the food pantry. It doesn't matter if you're just struggling to get by. You have an amazing, well, you have a military that protects you. We go to nations and minister where there is not even a police force that can protect you. There's no 911 to call. No matter where you find yourself in America, you can still pick up a phone and call 911, and you're going to get at least emergency medical care. A lot of the world doesn't even have that basic element of what we would consider just fundamental. We have an incredible system that protects our borders, that goes over this planet to try to protect American interests. We have an amazing thing just to be born in America. You have an incredible riches and a pleasure of life that you are going to be able to experience that many people, the majority of the people on this world, way above the majority, over 65%, will never have access to. And it's something that we have to realize. So Jesus is saying those two things plus the cares of life can choke you, can restrict you, can cause you to live in an existence where maybe you're surviving, but you're not producing. You're getting by. You're able to make it to your job. You're able to make it to just barely paying your bills or whatever, but there's nothing in you that feels like, man, this is the life. I come here sometimes on Sunday morning, I just feel like I feel guilty for how good my life is. Not because, I mean, I have all kinds of stuff going on in my life. But when I put that aside and I look at where I'm going, I look at heaven, I realize, man, I just can't believe it's this real and this good. I see my kids on stage. I see my wife leading worship. And I just realize, man, we're in God's family. We're a part of a family that's not just the one that my parents birthed me into, but the one that my Heavenly Father birthed me into. And that's something that the world and the cares of this life must never be allowed to have access to. Because Jesus is saying it can choke that part of us out. It can choke us to where maybe we get through to heaven somehow. We squeak through, but we don't bring anybody with us. There's a parable Jesus told about three stewards that He left gifts and money with, and only one of them didn't do anything with it. And when Jesus came back, he gave him back what he had received. And because there was no multiplication, Jesus cursed him.
Yeah.
When Jesus has given us this life to live, there's an expectation in his heart that we are going to produce things and bring them through to maturity. And I take this in the context that he's talking about fruit. Yeah. So we're sowing seeds, fruit comes, we grow up, but we're supposed to produce fruit. Not just offspring and godly offspring and raise them the right way, but there should be something about our lives that causes other people to want to come close, because when they get close, they feel a certain fullness, a certain refreshment. They feel like some sustenance has come into their life because they've gotten close to us.
Amen.
That's the maturity that I think this is talking about. And I just want to encourage you this morning, being a perfect parent does not mean you're going to have perfect kids. Perfect parents do not produce perfect kids. I hope, you know, maybe somebody's under guilt and condemnation over that. Let me just release you from that. If that's true, then God, explain God to me. God's a perfect parent. We're his kids. So, all right? Perfect parenting does not produce perfect children. Perfect children have to listen to the words and follow the words of a perfect parent if there's any hope of them reaching in that direction. But you understand, you can't put yourself on the hook for things that your kids do, for stuff and decisions that they make. I have to preach this to myself. Don't worry. The fact is, God knows who I've entrusted to him, and he's able to preserve into that day those things that I entrust to him. And my kids are one of those things. But this reality that God is a perfect father, he's got a plan for our lives. He is the one who has seen the beginning from the end, but he has designed us to be able to be rooted and grounded in love and to produce a harvest that's going to get the attention, and it's going to get the lost and hurting people to find a place where they can be fed and they can be nourished and they can begin to reproduce themselves. But so this choking by cares is something that happens. It comes in and it begins to try to restrict the productivity of our very lives, maybe of our thinking, of our finances. I mean, so many people, myself over a season of time, was in a lot of financial trouble just because I wasn't being wise with what I was doing with my money. Spending money and investing money is two different things. I invest a whole lot of money in properties, and even if I buy a vehicle, I buy an old beater, I put a few hundred into it, and then I use it for a while. And then I sell it for usually more than I paid for. It's just the way that I think. Anytime I can spend money and in the same time as spending it, make it an investment that I return from, that's just the way that I think. And God wants us all to be able to just allow ourselves to make all the right decisions. Trust me, don't worry. Everybody buys a lemon. Everybody buys a house that's a money pit. You don't get it right all the time. But the way that we think about our money, God wants us to be empowered to realize he expects a harvest from what he's given us. He doesn't just want the same amount back at the end of this life. He wants to see, man, these guys had faith. They invested, they grew, they expanded, they made something out of the seed that I had put and entrusted to them. And so all this is stuff we probably know, but I want to encourage us, because we're moving into a season where we have to begin to outproduce the cares that are of this life, because you can't eliminate them. There's no way you can hide from the cares of this life. You cannot do it. I mean, you can lock yourself in your room and pretend. Maybe if you're independently wealthy, you could pretend to hide, but eventually it's getting to the point where you're not even going to be safe there. There's no safe pocket that's going to be left on this planet as America continues on this path of demise. We were really a large part of the police force that kept a certain level of human value in place on this planet. Not that we did it right every time, but there was something in the hearts of the generation that went to war in World War II, and that they were laying their own families on the line to go out and to begin to allow people on the other parts of this planet to have freedom at their own cost of their own lives. And that's kind of been lost, that ability for us to really see the world as someplace we can protect. That's gone. We don't have the resources. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the vision and the desire to do it anymore. Certainly not the generations that's coming up behind us. There's no part of them that understands self-sacrifice. They don't have it in their DNA. It's not in there. I've been looking for it. I can't find it. It's all about them and what they need to get from life. And if they don't get it, they're going to sue somebody. They're going to sue their parents. They're going to sue anybody they can find. And I just want us to understand, it falls to us as the church of Jesus Christ, as the light that's been put on planet Earth for this time, that it's our job to produce a mature harvest so that that harvest can then reproduce again. We have to outproduce the cares and the things of this life that are trying to choke us out. It's not going to come any other way. We're not just God's B plan. I can't get over this idea that people somehow in their heart of hearts, they really think that the right political leader and the right government structure really could right everything that's going on. And I'm telling you, you are delusional. You are in delusion. You're in denial. God himself is the only one, and his kids, his heirs of his kingdom, are the only ones that have any hope of righting this ship. The only hope And I'm putting my full hope in that, and my full investment in that. And I believe that every dollar that I invest sacrificially, even from my own money, into what we're doing, it's all an investment, because this is the final stand. In my heart of hearts, this is the final stand. There is no generation coming behind us to write what only this generation can do. This is the tipping point. You can call it whatever you want, but it's on us. You know, there was that book series that was called, what was it called, Left Behind? Everybody, I never really read it, but I remember a couple of movies that I got talked into seeing. And, you know, whatever, it was supposed to be about the rapture and those that are left behind. Folks, we are the ones that have been left behind. You know, we're left behind. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. He went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. We've been left behind on planet Earth. We are the left behind. We are the remnant. We are the ones that are here to season this planet and to produce light on this planet until He comes back. There is no other plan that He has. The Church of Jesus Christ is His plan. It's His best plan. And when the church shines, the community is going to change, because darkness can never quench light. It's impossible for that to happen. But we have to bring fruit to maturity. Because only the mature can reproduce. Immature plants can't reproduce. They have to grow to maturity, then they produce fruit. And in the fruit is the seed for the next generation. We have to collectively, together, as a body, grow into the maturity, the responsibility, the ownership of what it is God wants us to do while we breathe these few little breaths that we have on planet Earth. I mean, I was just talking to my brother this morning, three people that he knows, and we were talking about this heroin epidemic, three people that he knows died this past week. I mean, it's just on this landslide of human value. The value of a human life is no longer important to the people that possess it. People don't see the value of their own life, therefore they treat themselves however they feel the best. Cares of this life, pleasures of this life, these are the things that choke out. People grow into maturity. They're dying in their teen years before they ever even get to maturity. You see it in the natural, and the spiritual realm is where the answer is, but we have to be willing to roll up our sleeves and spiritually intercede, pray, give, open our mouths, preach, share, teach, whatever it is, to get the word and the message out that there is hope and there is value for every human life that is on this planet. And when we do that, we're going to see that the demonic realm, the forces, the vapor that kind of just hangs over. You've seen those cloudy days, and all of a sudden, the sun just kind of starts to crack through, and the next thing you know, it just kind of opens up. There's that canopy, but it's so fragile. And if we would understand the power of the light that we have, and the drawing power that it has, when we draw heaven to earth, and those left behind intentionally, not because He doesn't love us, but because He loves the lost. When we begin to shine, we're going to see that the heavens and the atmosphere is going to change. You're going to be able to have people come into Kingston and going to say, man, this Walmart feels different.
Yeah, come on, brother. Come on.
What's up with this? It's just a Walmart. There's thousands of them. Why is this one different?
Yes. Come on, brother.
Don't tell me it can't happen.
Because
if it can't happen, we're all wasting our time.
Come on.
We're wasting our tithes and we're wasting our offerings.
Yeah.
Because something has to break.
Yes.
And it starts with broken people saying, Lord, we're broken, but You've made us whole in You, and we're going to stay in You, and we're going to see our plan come through.
Hallelujah.
We've got to be able to hear some things. When Jesus is talking about the sower sowing the seed is the Word. Very clear in Scripture, there's only one thing that the seed represents. It's the Word. Jesus flat out said, the seed is the Word. We've got to be able to hear the Word, not in the pulpit, not from me, but from the Lord speaking to you through His Scripture, through your personal worship, through your times with Him, through your personal investment spiritually into understanding who you are. When you see someone that's hurting or down and out, I'm not talking about the ones that are holding the same sign up for 5 years and they're just manipulating the system and they're living better than some of us. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about the real down and out ones, the moms with kids that are struggling that just need someone to help them watch the kid or make the kid smile or distract them so she can get the money out of her purse. All those little things. We're capable of all that stuff. We can't walk through life as insulated like we've got our guard up anymore. We've got to realize if not us, there's nobody coming behind us. This weight has dropped into my spirit, and I just feel that if we would take that on, that responsibility, it's going to honor God in a way that He's going to pour out such a blessing. That not only will we not be able to contain it, but this community is not going to be able to contain it. Because when light shines, some are going to flee. But man, I don't know how to put numbers to it, but there, I just, you know, you ever lift a rock and you see some of the ants go flying, some bugs, there's a whole bunch of bugs under there. I'm a boy, so I'm always playing in creeks and stuff, but you know, some of it's going to hide and some of them are coming out like, all right, who's going to pay for this mess that you just made? You know, there's like both happen, and I feel like that's what I just feel in my spirit. Yeah, we're going to shine bright and some people aren't going to get it. I'm like, why do we need to spend money? And I get that. It's okay. That's your liberty. You don't have to think the same as everybody else. But can you see the vision? And you can see that there's more people in this town that need to come to the light. And I believe by the Spirit's drawing will come to the light than those that are going to be dispelled by it and the ones that are going to just pick it and whatever else they're going to do out on the road in front of us. Because I love that stuff too. We got to start stirring things up. It's going to happen. It's coming to us, but we got to be ready. We got to be those people that say, oh, yeah, okay, big deal. That's awesome. Oh, there's 20 of them out there today. Cool. Get the news trucks here. Whatever it takes, I don't care. God has to be glorified. His name has to be proclaimed. People need to know there's a hope and a reason for life on planet Earth. It didn't just go away 2,000 years ago when he left us behind because he did it on purpose. He did it on purpose, Gary. He did it on purpose because he knows things that we don't always know because we don't allow faith to come through the hearing of what we're listening to. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The seed that's been sown, the seed that's beginning to grow, needs to come to maturity. But here's the part, here's another part I want to look at in the same text because it's in the last sentence. It says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart. Folks, you all have a noble and a good heart. You do. Why in the world else would you come out on 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning looking for something else to do? We're busy people. Everybody knows it. If nothing else, you can rest. There's good stuff. There's excellent programming on TV Sunday mornings now. I go to the gym. I'm on the thing flipping through the channels. There's like at least a dozen channels with some kind of teacher of the word that's actually teaching pretty decent stuff. And you can easily sit there. Why would you come out? There's something. There's a nobleness and a goodness in your heart that you want to see change too. You feel helpless when you see things going wrong around you. You want to be a part of the solution. I'm here to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is the solution, and you feel that, and you're drawn to that. You have a noble and a good heart. Don't question it. Don't allow the devil to say, yeah, but you're just here for what you can get, or are you really committed, or I don't know. Just forget all that junk. You're here. That's, to me, that's all the proof I need, that you have a noble and a good heart. Don't make it complicated. But here's the next phrase. They've heard the word with a noble and a good heart, and then they keep it. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. You've got to keep the stuff that you hear. You've got to cling to the things that Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast the confession. Grab onto the confession of our hope. Hebrews 2:1 says this, therefore we must give the most earnest heed, more earnest heed. We got to pay attention. We gotta recognize. You gotta fully embrace this reality. You gotta open your ears. You gotta hear fully with your spirit all the things that we've heard, unless we drift away. You realize if you will drift away, this thing is moving. God's always moving. He made himself a fire and a cloud. Why? Because he was moving so much that if he didn't have something visible to follow, there's no way they were going to make it because he was always on the move, even in the wilderness, keeping them moving and bringing from springs to brooks to places where they were going to be able to see the promised land and get inspired. God's always moving. And we have to realize if we want to cling to him, there's something in our hearts. We've got to pay attention to the words that he's saying. I get concerned sometimes. People miss a couple Sundays, and it's amazing how fast all of a sudden they feel disconnected, and they get concerned about things they weren't even concerned about before. You got to stay in the flow. This thing's moving way faster than I'm comfortable with. Make it clear. It's not. This thing's moving. I'm in the flow. I'm in the current of this thing. I'm not the one creating this current. I hope you know that. I hope you all know that. Just because I'm the lead visionary of this house, there is a current and a flow in the Spirit that's drawing us into things far greater than any single one of us can take on by ourselves. Amen. You can all feel that. If you get in and you put your finger on the pulse and you want to be plugged into that, you got to pay the most earnest heed, unless or else you'll drift away. I think the thing that keeps us distracted the most is that we, just culturally, the past gets so much press. Yeah. The future, how much press does the future get? Only if it's projecting the negative past into it, then they will. Oh, by this date, we'll be underground. That's the only thing they'll look forward with. Because the past gets all the press. The daily news, get it fresh. It's stuff that already happened. It's done. It's past. The past gets depressed. And God said, look, there's a future in front of us. There's a hope. The confession of our hope is, what is the confession of our hope? To me, it's Hebrews 6:19, that there's an anchor to our souls that goes into the presence that's beyond the veil. Yeah. that connects to the one who's there. And when we hold on to that, we're looking not just at the things of earth that are temporary, we're looking into the realms where things are permanent. Where even everything that's amazing as we're doing on this hill, it's not even going to matter from that place. What's going to matter is there's going to be people in that place because of what we've done here. That's what really matters. That's what excites me. We're going to reach people. People that people have said about, you're never going to be found. Guess what this church is getting more and more full of? If I had took a poll and a survey, who here thinks that they were ever going to be found in a church, and who has had it said of them, that person will never be in a church, we could probably get half the people in this room to say, yeah, that definitely fits me. That's who we're going for, the ones that there's no chance for. They're so lost, they're banging into stuff, they're bumping into stuff. The blind leading the blind. The experts of the day. Jesus said, what happens if the blind leads the blind, they both fall into the ditch. You've got medical professionals prescribing stuff to kids that's making them, football injuries in high school, giving them heroin derivatives as pain relief for sore shoulders and stuff. At 14, 15, 16 years old, Pop Warner League stuff. It's insanity. It's craziness that's happened. The blind are leading the blind, and we're the only hope of there being some standard, some light that says, you know what? We don't need that. Yes. We have the one who is life, and he lives in us, and he died for us, and he set us on a path. We've got to hold on. See, this point of keep it. They're the ones that go to maturity. They produce. Why? Because they keep what they've received. On a Sunday morning, man, my heart's sometimes so full because I'm speaking to you guys, but I'm preaching to myself. My ears are only right here. I'm the first person that gets every word I say. And I leave feeling so full because his word fills me up. There's nothing like reading the word and proclaiming it and declaring it to people who are in agreement. I leave so full, but if I'm not careful by the evening, I could just as easily feel empty, discouraged because of four or five posts that come out. What did you mean by this? And that shouldn't have been said, or whatever it is. I could very easily lay it on my pillow at night just so discouraged on a Sunday night feeling like, you know what, is there any reason for this? I thank God that he's taught me how to keep and to hold on to the stuff that happens in moments like this in worship so that nothing can take it away from me. Nothing can choke it out. But it's our responsibility. We have to keep and hold on to that rope. Hope on a rope is what I put in my notes. I guess I thought that was funny, but maybe that'll stick with you. Hope on a rope. Hope on a rope. It's even in green. I put it in green. Hope on a rope is the anchor. It's the anchor that goes beyond death into the presence that's behind the veil of death. Into the throne room of God where Jesus, who went on before us as the forerunner of our faith, he's seated there next to the Father. When he feels a tug on that rope, you think he's like, oh, that was a pretty full tug. They're going to have to figure that one out. They're going to pull me off my chair. No, he's anchored to that thing with his own blood. We've become blood brothers of Jesus Christ. He has brought us into a family that's not fickle. Families exclude people. They get a few things wrong. They become a holy roller or whatever. All of a sudden they're shunned or, maybe they have a real issue and they need to be excluded first. I don't know. But families on the earth are fickle. People suddenly aren't invited in. They're cliquish. You can come into this room, but not when so-and-so's in this room. That's not how the family we've been birthed into by Jesus works. It's not how it works. He has united us. He has redeemed us. He has given us one Father, our true Heavenly Father. He's given him back to us. I want to just read two scriptures from Psalms right now. Psalms 31 verse 24 says this, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." This hope is what we have to cling on to, folks. This hope is what we have to grab onto. This hope is what we have to pursue with all of our hearts and to realize that there's someone on the other end of this hope that's the rope that's on the other, this hope on a rope that's on the other end is Jesus. Whatever I just said, I didn't say it right. Because this is what it says. Be of good courage. It takes courage to hold on to something you can't see. It takes courage to say, yeah, everything looks like it's falling down when people ask you, man, that didn't come out the way that you were praying. Yeah, but you know what? I have a hope that goes beyond this. Jesus said, listen, don't get crazy about the fact that demons listen to you and people are healed. Get excited about your names have been written in heaven, that they are permanently recorded. You're going someplace when this ride is over. That's what should fuel our hope. That's where our hope is anchored. And when we pull on that, we pull heaven to earth. We pull heaven's response through us to planet earth. Psalm 31, 24 says, be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart. People are trying to be strong, but they're not being of good courage and confessing that he's my hope. Amen. He provides the strength. It says it again in Psalms 27 and throughout the Bible. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your hands that they don't lose grip. But you have to put all that you've got into your grip in the first place so that He will strengthen your heart. Don't make this about your strength. God provides the strength, but you provide the faith and the courage that it takes. He didn't say be of good courage and He was going to supply the courage. In fact, in Revelation it says that the cowardly are part of the characterization of those who are left out of heaven, the cowardly and the unbelieving. Folks, the courage is on us. We have to muster the courage and the hope to know that if we hold on to this, it might look like foolishness to the people around me. But it's connected to someplace where I'm going eventually. And when you hold on to that, all of a sudden it doesn't matter what people think, because you can feel, man, you know, ropes connect things. You know, I can put a rope all through around a corner outside, and I pull on it, it's going to pull on the thing that's all the way out there. Do you understand? That's what ropes do. They pull things together. They connect one object to another. They allow us to touch and to reach things that are even outside of you. Fishermen understand this, right? It's that thin little string that just goes through wherever it goes, and it connects us to the prize that we're after. It's the same with this hope that God has promised in Hebrews, that there's a hope that we have now that goes beyond the veil. If it goes through death, we can't see past that veil. It's permanent for us right now. We can have visions. We can have enlightenments. We can believe by faith that the Scripture describes it for us. But there is a rope, and if we will hold on to it, our hope is the very sustenance that this world doesn't have. They don't have it. They've tried hoping in a doctor. They've tried hoping in a guidance counselor that got them $200,000 in college debt and still no job. They've trusted the blind leading the blind method, and it doesn't work. They need a hope that doesn't move when they pull. And if they see a group of people that are holding to something that's invisible, and yet they're moving someplace, and they're moving in a direction, and doing it with joy and with strength, guess what? Not everybody wants that, but the ones that do are way more than you think. They're way more than I think. We've got to hold on to this thing. We have to keep it. The two words that we read that Jesus said, that just, we have to keep it. He doesn't say there won't be attempts to take it from us. Choking cares are going to come. All kinds of things are going to come to distract us from what we're holding on to and try to convince us to hold on to something else. But we have to hold on, folks. We have to be so impressed with the future of where we're going that the news, the past, the cares, the riches, the wealth, the stuff of this life that we live in, it just can't compare. We're connected to a reality that so exceeds, just that mind can't grasp it, but in our spirits, it's been revealed somehow. And that's what I feel when I preach this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel the connection. I can feel like the hope of where we're going is so real. It's like it's just behind the wall or something. And you can find that, because I find it in my prayer time. I find it when I'm just worshiping alone. I find that, man, this, I'm pulling on You, Lord, but You're not like ages away. He's like right there. And you can all feel that because the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. He has birthed you anew to a living hope. And I know this is all over the place this morning, but I just want you to grab a hold of this reality that you need the hope so that you can help other people. Hopeless people can't help hopeless people. This world is so hopeless right now. I just glance with my mind in the direction of the hopelessness that I see when I walk through some of the places, and I realize we have to do something because nobody else is going to do it. There's nobody coming behind us to do it. It's us, folks. There's a responsibility. Let's just stand together and just close in prayer this morning. God, I just thank You for the burden that You allow me to experience sometimes, where I just feel the weight of the responsibility that it's on us to be able to shine Your truth, to be able to speak forth the words into people's hearts that are going to help them to find that there's something growing in them, Lord. That You are alive, and wherever You are planted, You will continue to grow. And Lord God, give us the patience that it will take to see some of the harvest that we've been waiting for. Give us the patience to continue to go and to continue to water and continue to plant and to continue to speak life into people's hearts that just seem bent on self-destruction, bent on hiding from you. Lord, give us the wisdom and the understanding to not drive them away, but to speak such a hope into their heart that they can't help but want to find and experience for themselves what we're talking about. Lord Jesus, you are so faithful and you are so real. And I pray that if there's anyone in this room right now that has never had a Holy Spirit encounter, has never felt that the power of the Most High God residing and vibrating inside them, I will pray right now that they would open their hearts. If you open your heart right now, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking Him, Lord, would you pour out yourself in a measure that would allow us to feel that you are with us, that you are our hope. We lay aside the things of this life that choke us out and we call upon you, God. Holy Spirit, would you resonate inside our hearts? Cause us to see brokenness not as an end but as a beginning point for people to discover that you are a God of hope and healing. Someone here this morning, someone told you that they called you trash. They just called you trash. They finally said, you're just trash. White trash. I don't know what kind of trash. Just trash. Man, you're so much more than that. We call it trash talking. We call it all kinds of things and make it cliche, but we have to stop breaking one another down and start building one another up. The Holy Spirit is the one who will do that. Holy Spirit, would you build up hearts in this room this morning? Lord, ways of seeing ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror. Would you be the one that would show us who we really are right now by our faith in you and our trust in you? Holy Spirit, we lean ourselves completely upon you. We trust you with this day. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with the words that will come out of our mouths when the pressure comes on. God, fill us afresh with your fire and with your presence and with your passion and with your understanding, with your vision for our community and for the church that you're building here, Lord. The church is us. It's you and it's me. And Father, it's your Spirit that's alive in us, that makes us who we are, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the brotherhood and for the sisterhood that's here in this place, Lord, because you've made us that way. We celebrate you this morning and the work that you've done. And we love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We entrust our lives to you. And we rest our hope fully, fully upon you. The one who never leaves. The one who never forsakes. The one who is with us even to the very end of this age called planet Earth. In Jesus' name, amen.